Thank you, David. I got saved July the 19th, 1970. David and his family moved to Fayetteville in 1972.
Yep.
And they started coming to the same church where I got saved. Now, I left in the fall of 1971 and went to Bible college. The Lord had called me to preach.
Amen.
So I've been preaching for almost 55 years. I never felt led to pastor until 23 years ago. The Lord told me it was time to start pastoring. I'd filled in for pastors. They'd asked me to pastor their church, and I told them no, I couldn't do it because God had not told me to do it. But almost 23 years ago, the Lord told me to start pastoring. And so that's what we've been doing at the same church. We started a church in our home, and we've been there almost 23 years. And God has truly blessed us. Amen. Amen. Elaine and I have been married. Next month will be 31 years.
Amen.
And He's truly blessed us. Now, when Dave asked me what I speak tonight, and he told me y'all were in Galatians, but he asked me to speak whatever the Lord laid on my heart.
Yes. Amen.
And I really had to pray and ask God what God told me, what He wanted me to speak on tonight. Lord, is this what you want? I will never do anything or say anything if the Lord don't tell me to do it.
Amen.
When it comes to preaching or teaching the Word of God.
Yes.
My wife will tell you I've been given a gift that I can remember chapter and verse. You were talking about sometimes you didn't remember a whole lot. I'm 75. And I went through COVID in January of 21. I stayed in the hospital 43 days.
Wow.
I was unconscious 29 days. I was on a ventilator 13 days. And I thank God my memory's as good as it's ever been.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. The gift that He has given me is I can remember chapter and verse.
Amen.
Where it's found in the Word of God. And I thank God for that.
Yes.
That's the answer to a lot of prayers.
Amen.
First of all, let me say, I realize without Him, I'm nothing.
Amen.
I can't teach, I can't preach, I can't do any of it. But with Him,
yes,
I can do all things.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. So if you got your Bibles, please turn with me. I'm going to go to a very familiar verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I begin with verse 1. And I want to... This is a Bible study.
Yes.
And if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to stop me at any time. Speak up. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we learn. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Now this was Jesus speaking. He said, judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge another person, ye shall be judged according to the way that you judge that person. Or judge that person. And with what measure ye might, in other what measure you give it to them, is coming back to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's what the Word said. That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
Amen. And He said, and why behold, if thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and a mote is like a little splinter.
Mm-hmm.
But considereth not the beam of log that is in your own eye. In other words, you've got to look way over what you're doing to judge them for the little thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
My goodness. And, or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, behold, a beam is in our own eye. Then he said, thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye. In other words, get your life right.
Yep.
And then thou shalt see clearly that cast a mote out of thy brother's eye. So if we look at a person because of their color, their religion, and judge them, it is a sin. It is a sin. Now, go with me over. Go with me down to verse 15. Verse 15 in the same chapter. Beware of false prophets.
Yes.
Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravishing wolves.
Boy, amen. Mm-hmm.
And they're in all churches.
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
It says, you shall know them by their fruits.
Wow.
If you're a Christian, a true Christian, you're bringing forth good fruit.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Amen.
But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I tell our congregation all the time. How do you expect somebody who is not saved to treat you right and act like they're saved?
Yep, that's right.
Did you do it before you were saved?
No.
Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 said, there is none righteous, no, not one. But don't you look at the rest of this. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Well, that's right.
Now I want you to pay close attention to verse 20. Whereby, by their fruits, ye shall know them. In my Bible, I've got the word know underlined.
Yeah.
Most people just quote this verse right here and say, by their fruits, we can judge them. That's not what the word says. By their fruits, we know them.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, turn it with me, I want to show you this. What Paul said, Romans chapter 2, verse 11. When you get it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
For there is no respect of persons with God.
Yes, that's right.
In God's eyes, we're all the same.
That's right.
There is no respect of persons with God. Now go with me another place to James. The book of James, chapter 2, and let's go to verse 8. And look what it says here. When you get it, say amen.
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 But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture,
mm-hmm.
thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
You gotta love yourself first.
You do well if you do that. Now, Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said, they asked him what was the greatest commandment. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Amen.
With all thy soul, with all thy mind. Amen.
Amen.
He said, in the second commandment, is love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
And we're judging our neighbors and talk about them. Is sin. And I'm going to show you this. Look at right here. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin. Now this is what the Word of God is saying. If ye have respect to persons, you commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. So we are transgressors if we judge others. Now we'll get to the next verse. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all.
That's right.
So we're guilty of judging. We're guilty of all of them. Yes, brother.
No. You said it. We can, as a Bible study,
yes.
I asked a question to a group one time, mm-hmm. who are your neighbors?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And sometimes people just think it's your person that lives right next door to you and your left, mm-hmm. you're right behind you.
No, that's right. Yeah.
It's the world.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, amen.
Even the people in Iran right now that hate us,
mm-hmm.
God say, love them.
Amen. Yeah. If we're judging them, we're guilty of all. That's what the Word says.
That's what the Word says, because those are our neighbors.
That's man.
They might not be living next door to us, but I told the group, you walk outside, and if you can look forward, look front, to the right, or to your left, or behind you, and see nothing wrong, then you need to have God open your eyes up.
Amen.
And so that you will know how we ought to pray for one another. So I just want to inject that in. Because a lot
thank
of people,
you.
When they say neighbors, right. they just think about the person that lives next to them.
That's right.
And a lot of times, they don't even like them.
That's right. Can't get along with them. So talk about them.
If they can't even like the one that writes next door to them,
that's right.
then how can they write like the ones that's overseas somewhere that want to kill
off the world?
That's right. That wants to kill you.
That
that's
kill
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I want to interject that because that's very important.
Amen.
You know, that we understand that because you can't hate the one that want to kill you. You need to pray for the one that want to kill you.
Amen.
That's according to the Word. So.
That's right.
You know, I think that neighbor, like you said, it begins next door.
It begins
but it
next
around
door.
The world.
That's right.
It's coming to your back door. But,
right.
So, but it's easier to love way over there than it is next door.
Sometimes it is.
That's why the question is.
You have the interaction.
That's why the question is so important. Who is your neighbor?
Yeah.
That's what God showed me.
You know, right. Brother, I had. My wife knew this is true. We've been living where we are for almost 31 years in the same house, same neighborhood. Our neighbor, when we first moved there, was grouchy, hard to get along with. I could go out and cut my grass and blow out my cement driveway real pretty. Walk in the house and I hear his lawnmower crank up. And he'd go back there, he'd cut his grass, just fill up my driveway with grass, and laugh. They'd laugh about it. And laugh about it.
Oh, wow.
So one day, he's dead now. I called his name. I said, Mr. Dowd, I love you. What? I said, I love you. I said, I don't care how ornery you are. I love you. And I'm praying for you. You know from that day forward, he never did it again.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Pastor, If we do what the Word says, then God will do what God does.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you begin to love the person that hate you, sooner or later, that wall is going to be torn down. It has to be. Because love conquers all.
That's right.
And the problem we have, even sometimes as Christians, is getting over ourselves.
That's right.
To where we can love somebody else, especially somebody that did you wrong.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I want to, since you said that, I want to go another scripture, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. 12 years ago, God told me, the biggest trouble in churches today with Christians.
Yes.
They cannot forgive one another.
Yeah.
God told me that.
Yeah.
That's right.
It is.
And I preached it, and I preached it. I want to show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 6.
Well, if we really love Him, His love constrains us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it's a heart posture thing.
That's right.
We're out of alignment.
That's right.
There's an identity problem and there's character flaws.
That's right.
And people aren't looking at that.
Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. And we're talking about judging, which it said, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all sin. But look what this says. And if you forgive men their trespasses,
amen,
your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Right.
But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if we don't forgive others, He don't forgive us.
That's right.
I had a brother that was in the church. After I got saved, I went and talked to him and his wife. I felt led to do it, and both of them gave their hearts to the Lord. Probably in about 1973. I love my brother. He was the biggest hypocrite in the church.
Wow.
When my wife and I got married, he wouldn't have nothing to do with me for 3 years. Not a thing. He went and asked his pastor, a good friend of mine, how could my brother marry a black woman? And you know what his pastor told him? John Hedgepeth.
Oh, John.
Mm. He said, yeah, I know how. Because he loves everybody. The same way you need to love everybody.
Yeah.
That's right. What his pastor told him.
Yeah.
He said, if I fell in love with a black woman, I'd marry her.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. On his deathbed, he died in 2023.
Mm.
About a month before he died, I went to see him one evening, talked with him and prayed with him. He said, I want to see you. He said, I hadn't told anybody, I got to tell you.
Mm.
He said, all these years I've been in the church, for the last month, I finally got my life right with the Lord.
Wow, that's wonderful, man.
Finally.
Praise the Lord.
And I said, well, let me tell you something, brother. I said, and I had my Bible and I took him right here to these scriptures. I said, the Lord said, if you don't forgive others, He don't forgive you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where does it say that? And I showed him. He said, well, nobody's ever told me that.
Mm.
That's what he said. Nobody's ever told me that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to bring up another scripture in John 20:23, because even if we see our brother sin, if we don't remit their sins,
that's right.
What we do when we remit their sins, we give them time for the Lord to keep working on.
That's right. We have to.
And the sins that we see, if we don't remit them, they're on us.
Amen.
Because we've seen it.
That's right.
Amen. But he told me, I don't know, I didn't know that, so I showed him where it was, and he said, Lord, forgive me.
No, that's true. Now, we can't take their sin like Christ did.
No, that's right. Right.
Yeah.
But we have to forgive them.
Right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying you're saying that, because a lot of people, the Catholic Church, for example, takes that verse and they say, well, a priest can remit sin, and so they can be the atonement for that sin.
Right. Well, they do confessions too.
Yeah. And of course, that can't work that.
Yeah.
However, that remittance means that we don't hold that sin against that person.
That's right.
And as you said, Robin, that allows the Lord to work, you know?
Yes. That's exactly right.
And because if we hold that sin against that person, then that will be the judgment. That will be the judgment, and so God then can't enter in. You know, we always talk about wanting peace. There's a wonderful verse when we talk about forgiveness, Gary, if you don't mind, offense, the word offense. You know, you cannot be offended if there's no offense in you.
That's right.
We get offended because someone says something and the words come out of their mouth and touch the offense in our heart. And that's why we get offended. But Psalms 119, 165 says, perfect peace. So who wants perfect peace? Everyone should have their hand raised now, right?
We all do.
But you know, I want perfect peace.
Yeah.
Perfect peace have they that keep the law, and that's not the Ten Commandments.
Nothing shall offend you.
Nothing shall offend thee.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine coming to a place in God where no one can say or do anything that would offend you?
Well, if it does, we're not perfected in His love.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's the place that God wants us to come.
Yeah.
He wants us to come to that place where nothing will be able to offend us. Wow. I can't imagine.
I've got a cousin. She passed away about a year ago. She had three sons. And the oldest two were gay. Living the gay lifestyle. The youngest one is married and has children. And I prayed and I said, God, show me why this happens in a family. Which I knew of no one way back, as far as I knew, in our family that was gay. And I prayed, I said, Lord, show me why this happens.
Yeah.
And this was a few months ago. I got a call, a friend of mine, a pastor friend, called and asked me, could I go to the plumbing house and get him some parts free, or not free, but discounted, big discount.
Yeah.
I told him I'd meet him there. And the man that owned the plumbing house, known him for 40 years.
Yeah.
And we went in and I introduced my friend to him. And I said, Tommy, this is my friend James. And I said, I've known Tommy for 40 years. His family is married into my family. And these boys' daddy were this man's uncle. How God works. And I said, Tommy, I said, please pray for Larry and Gary, the ones that are gay. He said, Gary, I could tell you some things to make your head roll off of your shoulders. He said, my granddaddy in church was the biggest hypocrite there ever was. And molested every boy in the family. And so God gave me an answer to why the boys were that way.
Yeah.
Now I go to these boys, men now, I tell them I love them. God loves them.
That's right.
And we cannot judge.
That's right. Amen.
If we do, we're guilty of all sin.
Thank you. I don't mean to interrupt too much, but there is something I've been struggling with for a long time, and it's, you know, ministers and preachers and all the ones that have ordinations, and I said to my mom the other day, I said, you know, I'm not a preacher, right? But I've been around them all my life, and I said, you know, I bet they struggle with a lot of sadness because they're always dealing with sadness, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've always been happy and not necessarily not have struggles, because even laymen have, if they're marked by God, you know, you're going to have a lot of struggles too. So I can relate. But I was trying to witness to my neighbor, and she says she grew up Catholic, and she said some things happened, and I understand why she's the way she is, but she's not a Christian, I don't think. And every time I try to get around to sharing something godly, she dumps all the trash that's in her mind on me on purpose. She doesn't do it to my mom. She doesn't do it to other folks. And sometimes you can take so much. You know, I helped her, gave her food, did everything I could. And she just always wants to do that to me. And she's older, you know, she is frail, getting frail, more frail. But one time my next door neighbor had cancer, two types. He's been in the military, and he's 5 years ago, he was dying of both. And I said, can I come over and lay a hand on you? Well, most people aren't used to that. So he said, hey, don't put any hands on me. I have cancer. I can't get anybody. I said, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Then this lady that I've had, that's watched me all this time, was married to a military man, but she's the one that was a Catholic and had these problems. She said, Amber, you should not be praying out loud. No way. This is not right. The Catholics pray quietly, and that's not right. And I said, Lord, I looked up to heaven, and I said, God Almighty, please heal Ted in the name of Jesus Christ. He's still alive to this day. Because I know God's faithful to me. And even though I get stepped on when I can't talk about it, and all these things happen, I have to go back to that lady. If my mom wants me to deliver some food or whatever, and she's okay for a little bit, and then she starts in, brings up the most horrible, horrible things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't say, oh, you're going to hell or this or that. No, I have to.
You can't judge her.
I have to. But she's grieving the Holy Spirit now. Now, God says, this is different when you see somebody doing something, but when they're grieving you and the Holy Spirit in you, she's got one of the worst things. She's getting worse. And after she did this a couple days to me ago, I talked to my mom, and then I find out the next day she had to be rushed to the emergency. Mm-hmm. When you start pressing on God's holy ones,
that's right.
I don't care if you're a preacher, a missionary, or just a lay woman or a man, I've seen God do things, allow things to happen that are really, really, really dramatic. And you say, well, I know why she... I didn't have any personal things against her, but she grieved the Holy Spirit, and she does it all the time to those that are just trying to love her. So there's this issue that's going on. It's been going on, and I see in this day and age, we're living the last days, there's all this thing going on today with preachers and people that love the Lord, and half the people who go to church aren't saved. That's what Billy Graham said, and I believe it.
Right, and let me ask you a question, Anne.
Yeah.
Mm. Have you asked God why this woman does that?
Yes, I know the reason why she's against the Lord.
No, I didn't ask you that.
Oh, yes.
I said, I'm asking you.
Yes.
Have you asked God while he's allowing her to come to you?
Well, I said to the Lord, I'm willing to say yes to any time. And I've
Gary Horn, Home Group Meeting, 14 April, 2026.
Yeah,
I have
all that.